Our scripture today is from Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 through 10. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all the peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Tom. The poetic prophecy of Isaiah that we just heard is set against the backdrop of the Hebrew people's physical and spiritual devastation when a foreign empire conquers their country and destroys their city. Their beautiful city, Jerusalem. Families are pulled apart as captives are taken into slavery and exile. Their homes are torn down around them. There is death everywhere. I'm sure it seemed as if God had abandoned them. Death had cast a shroud over the whole people. If images from recent news of refugee camps and the devastation of Middle Eastern cities are coming to your mind, then you are getting the situation of God's people that is behind this text. Death is an active force of negativity that moves to counter and cancel and prevent well-being, writes Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann. Death in its many forms leaves us feeling diminished and separated from God. Grief after death is not a one-time visitor. It's a thread that runs through our lives in many ways. As a chaplain friend of mine says, there are so many little deaths in life. Dying is just one of them. We most certainly experience the shroud of death that Isaiah speaks of when one of our loved ones dies. Some deaths are just way before their time and come with tragic circumstances. And even when the death of a loved one has been peaceful and comes naturally at the end of a vital, productive life, we can still feel the devastation of loneliness and abandonment. We grieve many other losses in life as well: job loss, relationship loss, loss of the meaning in the midst of despair and depression, loss of community in the moving across the country, the loss of a beloved pet. We grieve when we hear the news of violence against other human beings, gun violence, domestic violence, the violence of prejudice and injustices of all kinds, the violence of war. And we grieve when we hear of and experience ecological violence against God's creation. We often feel helpless in the midst of grief, disgraced that we cannot lift ourselves up from the mire, that we cannot change the circumstances that cause us or others to grieve. We feel alone. In all these experiences, our hearts, our souls long for companions in community and in the presence of God. We need those who will walk beside us, following our lead as we move through the sorrow, the anger, the numbness, the loneliness. We need companions without judgment, without time frames or fix-it solutions to cheer us up. We need companions who patiently walk with us toward the hope of transformation. The best gift we can give someone in grief is simply being a companion. A poet named Patricia McKinnon Runkle beautifully expresses this kind of companioning in her poem, "When You Meet Someone Deep in Grief." When you meet someone deep in grief, slip off your needs and set them by the door. Enter barefoot this darkened chapel, hallowed by loss, hallowed by sorrow, its gray stone walls and floors. You, congregation of one, are here to listen, not to sing. Kneel in the back pew. Make no sound. Let the candles speak. In other words, just be. You do not have to fix, listen, or simply sit in silence with the one in grief. Your presence is the balm, the greatest fix you can offer. The prophet Isaiah proclaims that our companion in God invites us to sit and be at God's table of hope and abundance in the midst of grief and loss, in the midst of the many little dyings as well as the big ones, in the midst of fear and devastation. At God's table, we are transformed by God's companioning. God feeds us with love in a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, or here in Fort Collins, maybe we should say well-brewed beer. The prophet declares that God will destroy the shroud, the sheet of deep grief that is spread over all the nations. God will swallow up death forever and will wipe away the tears from all faces. I believe this. I don't know exactly how it will happen, but I believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus, who is now the Christ, the redeeming presence of God with us. Death was swallowed up forever in his death and resurrection in an ultimate and a cosmic way that is both mystery and revelation. And we can trust this mystery because of the new life that it reveals. Friends, here in the community of God's saints, we endeavor to companion one another on the journey of life's mystery that extends through and beyond physical death. God is our ever-present companion, drawing us all together. As companioning community, we are tangible evidence of the presence of God in all our lives. You have been and continue to be companions to your pastors as we continue to walk through the grief of my son's death a little over 18 months ago, and through the grief of Hal's cancer diagnosis and treatment. You are with us in tangible and intangible ways, in prayers, in mountains of cards that you have sent, each one read with care, at least 4 shoeboxes full. You are with us in the prayer flags that you made for me after Colin's death. They hung on our back fence for at least 9 months until I noticed early this summer that they were disappearing. I finally realized those darn squirrels were taking them. Irritated, I went out to salvage what was left, muttering, "These are my prayer flags." And then later that day, Hal took me out to our deck and pointed up. There, in a very large, very tall evergreen tree in our neighbor's yard, way at the top of the tree was a very colorful squirrel's nest made with prayer flags. So they still companion me. And I hear Colin's laughter each time I look at them. They assure me of God's companioning presence that comes through you and through the beauty and sometimes the surprise of nature. The words of Isaiah assure us that God's hope is as abundant as a great feast, and that the shroud of death is not the ultimate future. God's life is the ultimate future. God's presence offers transformation because God is the ultimate companion in the many deaths in our lives. God comes into the darkened chapel of our souls and sits with us as a congregation of one, listening to our grief. God sends us to one another to listen as companions in grief. And through our companioning, we are transformed in our individual lives and in our communal life together. Transformed to companion those here in Fort Collins, in northern Colorado, in our country, and around the world who suffer the death-dealing forces of violence, prejudice, and injustice. Even in the very real ache of grief, we can say with the prophet and with conviction, God will swallow up death forever. God will wipe away all tears and take away the shroud of disgrace that covers the earth through human violence and greed. My dear friends, don't you want to participate with this companioning God in this miraculous transformation? The invitation is open as we companion one another through God's love. Amen.